Lord, just thank you so much for this evening, for all these ladies who are here. Lord, I just pray that you'd use your word to, Father, just speak to us. Help us to apply it, to hear you and the message that you have for us. Lord, that we would grow stronger in you as ladies individually and collectively as well. Father, that we would always hear from you. Lord, I give you this time. I pray that you would take me out of it and they would only hear from you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, ladies, so I'm going to find a water because I have a cough. But while we are in the hustle and bustle of the season and starting, or maybe some of you have finished, if you're very, you know, type A like that, searching for the perfect gift for loved ones, right? I thought that tonight we would start with the greatest gift, which is salvation. So not only is it the greatest gift, but it is also free. Which those are the best gifts, right? Like all gifts, though, there was a great cost involved for the one who purchased it. But it is free to those who accept it. Why is it free? Well, because God is not stingy. Generosity is one of his characteristics. The Bible talks of his generosity as grace. His graciousness is his generous nature. His generosity is seen in creation and life itself. All the good things he gives to us, James 1:17, right? We know this. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But the greatest act of his generosity towards us is the death of his own Son on our behalf. John 3:16, we can all quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Closely connected to his generosity are his mercy and forgiveness. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To treat people not as they deserve, but in mercy, and to forgive them, that is grace and generosity itself. However, God's generosity is not exhausted with the death of his Son for our forgiveness and pardon. When God raised Christ up to sit at the right hand in all power and authority, he gave his Son the promised Spirit to pour out on all flesh. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So through Christ, God gave his Spirit to redeem us, bringing us to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. And this rebirth is necessary to enter into the kingdom, even though it is beyond us all. We cannot do it alone. But God, in his graciousness and his generosity, has given us such rebirth through the resurrection of his Son. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Yet even not that is all. God's amazing generosity goes on and on and on. We've all seen it in our lives. All who receive the Holy Spirit through salvation also receive spiritual gifts. The apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they were given to equip God's people for the work of building the church. And the church is built by Christ through the gifts he gives to his people. Even today, God is generously giving his people the gifts we need to undertake the task of building the church, building this church. In our own congregation, there are no doubt people who are extraordinarily gifted thanks to the generosity of God. We've seen a lot of it this evening. But we should remember our abilities are not self-generated accomplishments. They're God's generous gifts. We should give thanks to him for his generosity towards us. We should thank God for the gift of each other. and the gifts he has given to each of us. For each of us has received some gift to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. We all receive the benefit of each other's gifts because they are to be used for the common good of building the church. God does not give us gifts for private hoarding or enjoyment, but so that we can use them generously for the benefit of all. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So at first, this whole issue of spiritual gifts may seem mysterious, maybe complicated to some of you, and difficult. But in fact, the opposite is true. God has given us wonderful gifts, and he doesn't make it difficult to discover them and to use them. So in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." What does this mean? The word ignorant here does not mean unintelligent or naive or just you don't know, right? But rather, Paul is telling us that if we were uninformed, we will miss out on the wonderful gifts God has given us. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be fully informed so we can unwrap every single gift that we have received. Our gifts are the key to fulfilling the kingdom purpose he has set aside for each one of us. When the truth finally sank in for me on this subject, it was very sobering. And suddenly I felt a deep desire to understand the entire subject of spiritual gifts. So what are spiritual gifts? Let's start by clarifying what they are not. Okay? Their spiritual gifts are not the same as your personality traits. However, your personality traits, they do provide natural vehicles for expressing your gifts and definitely a way of using it. So for example, if God wired you to be outgoing, all my extroverts, right? Then your gifts will work best as you are actively engaging with other people. If you are more reserved by nature, my introverts in the room, right? Your personality will complement your giftedness. Second, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. You can be a very talented architect, salesperson, manager, teacher, all those things, right? But those are not spiritual gifts. And third, spiritual gifts are not the same as the fruits of the Spirit. And those are described in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You guys know them. Love, peace, joy, suffering, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruits of the Spirit reveal God's, Christ's contribution to our character, while our spiritual gifts reveal the contribution we make to God's kingdom. So, again, what are spiritual gifts? A spiritual gift is a God-given special ability given to every believer at salvation. You all have a spiritual gift if you're saved by the Holy Spirit to share his love and strengthen the body of Christ. God gives us these special abilities for specific reasons. Spiritual gifts only work in spiritual ways, designed to bring great color and clarity to our lives. They can only be used to their full potential when they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells inside of every believer. Only those who have entered into a personal relationship with Christ have these gifts. So why does God give us spiritual gifts? In 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The spiritual gifts God gives you are neither for you or about you. They weren't given to boost your self-image or to serve as some kind of special reward from God. They were not given to raise you up to some level of worldly greatness or success. They are yours for the express purpose of blessing the body of Christ, the church. That is why you need to be a part of a church family. And we're blessed here with our church family. Discovering your spiritual gifts is not the ultimate goal. Using them to bless others is. So does everyone get a gift? Well, we've already talked about that. Every saved believer with a personal relationship in Christ, you absolutely receive a spiritual gift at your salvation. The Bible assures us that every believer receives a gift from God. 1 Corinthians 7, that last part, 7:7, but every man hath his proper gift of God. Listen, you may not feel tremendously gifted, but God says that you are. Every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. People discover their gifts as they minister to others. The more you serve God in ministry, the more clearly you will see your gifts. God gives gifts to everyone, not just special people. There are no special qualifications needed, no special level of maturity required, not even a particular time span needed in your journey with Jesus. You don't have to be saved for 10 years. You can be, as soon as you're saved, day one, you have a spiritual gift. If you are a believer, then you have the Spirit living in you. If you have the Spirit living in you, then you have a spiritual gift to use for God's glory and the benefit of others. You may not have discovered the gifts you have or begun to use them yet, but you definitely have them. You have God's word on it. He is the one who decided which gifts to give you. How many gifts you have is not nearly as important as discovering and developing the gifts you do have. Is there anything more fun than watching children open Christmas presents? Right? We have a lot of moms in here, aunts, grandmothers. Having four children, myself, Christmas morning in our house has always, over the years, been very wild and fun. We have a lot of different traditions, but our children, obviously, like all of you probably have experienced or are still experiencing, get out of bed super early in the morning, right? And they race to the living room where we always have everything and to see all the gifts under the tree. And some of them are just left out open, not wrapped. When they find presents with their names on them, bows and paper start flying every which direction. And as their mom, I've always taken special pleasure in watching their eyes and each moment that they're enjoying. My heart is filled with love as their eyes have brightened with the excitement of what they're unwrapping. I'm delighted when they ask me to show them how to use the gifts, right? Some assembly and batteries required. Am I the only one who always forgets the batteries? Satisfaction fills my soul as I watch them begin to play, use, wear. You know, they've gotten older now, so things look different. The things that Pastor and I picked out, especially for them. Now picture this same wonderful scene, only with spiritual gifts. When God planned the masterpiece he would make of your life, he decided to give you certain gifts that would enable you to effectively share his love and make your own unique contribution to his kingdom. He placed these spiritual abilities within you. And listen, he waits eagerly for you to discover them. I'm certain it fills his heart with joy as he watches us discover and start using the spiritual gifts. We should be as excited as children on Christmas Day about unwrapping these treasures. Each gift is unique and it is beautiful and precious. So each person is unique. We should honor and celebrate each person's uniqueness. We are unique, but we are also very connected. We are not alone. We are not supposed to live in isolation. Our greatest gift is each other. Our family is our greatest gift. Our friends are our greatest gift. Our sisters and brothers in Christ are our greatest gift. The greatest gift is not what we have. The greatest gift is not the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, gift of prophecy, gift of mercy. The greatest gift is each other. All of you are my greatest gift. God gave you to bless me. You are my blessings. Why is it so hard to understand this message? Well, because the world complicates it. When we have God's love in our heart, we see how precious every person is, and everyone around us will become gifts. That's why Paul concluded his teachings about gifts with the last three verses of Corinthians chapter 12. What does he say in 29 through 31? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. When we are gifts to each other, the local church becomes the real spiritual community. And in this local church, we should feel special. We should feel cared for. We should feel blessed because we are all one body. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. To do this, love is necessary. So we need to cultivate love within us. This local church is a beautiful local church. We need to make it a place where we bless each other. It needs to be filled with love, and so that our shortcomings may be melted and our spiritual gifts become manifested. We must help each other to become the best that we can be. Then in turn, we will become a gift to each other. There should be no room for jealousy or comparison. We don't need to compare ourselves with others. We are not in competition with others. Tonight, we're in a group full of all women, right? So let's get real for a minute. Let's be open. Let's be honest. Why do women compare ourselves to each other so much? When our focus should be on our value in Christ. And what does the Lord say matters? The condition of our heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Our flesh gets us off track, ladies. Have you ever been envious of another person's talents? Be honest with yourself. Or their spiritual gifts, secretly wishing you were more like them? I'm envious of women who can sew and DIY everything. It is so present on social media, a standard that no one is ever going to be able to meet. A spotless aesthetic home, straight from a magazine, homemade sourdough everything, endless energy, perfect children. Y'all got perfect children? A perfect marriage? Anybody got a perfect marriage? Don't we all make our own greeting cards and knit darling mittens for our children? Anybody? For me personally, I do not have an ounce of crafter's blood coursing through my veins. My own children knew better than to bring me their Awana badges to sew them on of their uniforms when they were younger. I would reach for the flat iron. And listen, I have passed along that advice to many who gladly received it. Yeah. Some women have the spiritual gift of evangelism. They seem to effortlessly share the gospel with others while some become tongue-tied when they even try. Some are in bondage of fear, believing Satan's lies. I was once in that bondage of fear. We talk about this a lot in our Ladies Sunday School class. Public speaking is the number one fear. It ranks above death, which is number two. People would rather die than talk in front of somebody. Even though each of us as believers have been created by God in a unique way, sometimes it is tempting to look at somebody else with their particular package of strengths and abilities and wish we possess them. In time, though, I finally came to a place where I decided to embrace and trust the way God had made me, and then be content with my natural talents and spiritual gifts. How freeing was this? Rather than looking at one of my sisters in Christ, wishing I held their abilities, I began watching God use me as he touched the lives of others. When I started praying for God to reveal my distinct skills, I found out I have the gift of administration and mercy. And I can use these gifts to serve and minister to many. I love to arrange meal trains, banquets like tonight. Sounds silly, but the nursery schedule, the Awana records keeping, coordinate tasks, whatever, help people in need. And as a person who loves to talk, I quickly realized I have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Romans 12:8, or he that exhorteth, or exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So I can use my words, whether spoken, type, text, to uplift and cheer others. In fact, encourage means to impart courage. My words can reassure others. I believe in you. You can do it. It's never too late. These inspiring words might have them bravely face what lies ahead. And I know that many of you in this room also have the same gift because you have been a tremendous encouragement to me many times. But now, what is the purpose of having a gift? Is it so we can pat ourselves on the back for having it? Nope. Look again at what 1 Peter 4:10 says, that last part. Even so, minister the same one to another. We are not the intended recipients, ladies. The people in our lives are. Our gifts are tools God will use to serve others, to build them up and help them find their places in his kingdom. An important fact to remember, we don't all have identical gifts. There is no matchy-matchy about the way we serve. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. The word manifold is the original, in the original Greek language was, I'm going to butcher it, polypokalos. It means many-sided. But wait, what does manifold mean? Well, listen, I've driven enough junk cars in my life that I know there is a car part called a manifold. So maybe its definition can help shed some light on the meaning. It's a system of pipes that divide a flow and carries it to more than one place. What an accurate depiction of what our gifts do for the family of God. When we accept that we're not all the same, we actually maximize carrying the love of God to more than one place, multiplying the impact we have on the lives of those within our Jerusalem. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows exactly what type of people will be drawn to his heart through the gifts, abilities, and resources each of us possess. You are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Make it your aim to not only discover, but to embrace and then use your unique gifts to touch the lives of others for the sake of the gospel. Mark 6:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. It doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. Every one of you is precious in God's eyes. So we should treat each other with respect. That's how human beings are supposed to live. We should honor each other's dignity. That was what God wanted when He created us. We are supposed to take care of each other. If you have more, you share those with those who have less. When you have gifts, you use them to help and uplift others. Our unique design shapes not only the lens with which we see a situation, but also how we respond to it. When we come together to serve as one body, needs are met on many levels. The ladies here at Assurance Baptist Church can be a strong testimony to God's faithfulness through the use of our spiritual gifts and our witness. It is a beautiful thing when we realize we are not in competition with one another and more effective as a whole. So how can we discover our spiritual gifts? Right? We always hear the what, but what's the how? Pray. Number one, pray. God will reveal them to you. But listen, when you pray, you have to hear for the answer, right? Look for the answer, wait for the answer. Be in the Word. It's where God speaks to us. So number two, pay attention. I'm going to give you some practical advice for recognizing your spiritual gifts. What energizes you and makes you come alive? What comes easily for you that others might find challenging? What are you effective at? And three, listen. Listen. What feedback do you get from others? Particularly those who know you well. And this is important, ladies. Number four, start serving. I've taken a lot of Beth Moore studies over the years, and I heard her say once that if you want to discover your spiritual gifts, start serving, and you quickly will learn what you are and are not effective at. Once you've had an idea of what your gifts might be, use them. Start using them. Practice and sharpen them. Not all teachers are flooded with ease and peace the first few times they teach. Get feedback from those around you. And finally, when you give a present to a child on their birthday, what do we want? Well, we want them to use it. So likewise, God gave us these spiritual gifts with the expectation that we will use them for the benefit of others, but most importantly, to glorify Him. You have an invaluable combination of personality, natural talent, and spiritual gifts. You are each one of a kind, created with a purpose, on purpose. Let God use you. Enjoy being you. He doesn't want anyone to be perfect. He just wants you to be willing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, just thank you so much for showing up this evening. Father, I just pray as we just move into this last time together.